Revelation chapter number 18. Now, I mentioned to you, and those of you that weren't here, I don't often do this, but it may behoove you, especially if you were in Brother Woodard or Brother Sam's Sunday school class. It might be good for you to consider getting the Sunday school message, especially if you were planning a Halloween party. And then if you choose to still have a Halloween party, I pray that every ghoul and every goblin and everything that can cause you to have nightmares from now until Jesus comes will haunt you. That was funny. I can assure you, I got a call from a friend of mine. He actually sent me a text and he goes, "I'm surprised that they didn't stone you this morning." He said, "If I were to say some of those things, they'd kill me, you know." I said, "Well, I understand, but nonetheless, it's the truth about those things." And, you know, it's good to every now and then get that tune up to recognize, you know what, I need to make some changes with a couple, just tighten things up a little bit and just recognize, you know, I got maybe a little bit loose here. Notice, if you will, please, we're talking this morning about these things with devils. I'm just going to bring it to you. Verse 2, 18:2. 3 times 6, 666, 18:2. Amen, Jace. Amen. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils." Watch it. "And a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Brother Val, you pray, would you, and ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Look, if you will, please, 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now, this is a difficult thing that I'm about to put on you here. And I'm not one that would suggest that you pray this prayer. But nonetheless, it is a biblical truth that in the days of the Apostle Paul, there was a filthy thing that was going on. Notice in verse 1, it's reported commonly, there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among Gentiles. When he uses Gentiles with Jews, he's comparing you to the lowest figure in life that they knew. In other words, what he's doing is he's saying, listen, you folks ought to know how those Gentiles are. And when he says, what y'all are doing is not even named upon among the worst of the worst, the Gentiles, the dogs, the good for nothing. He said, the stuff you're doing now and you're tolerating, it's reported commonly among you. It's well known. Everybody knows about it. And he said, what's happening in that passage is that you have a young man who is having a physical relationship with his dad, his father's wife. It's incestuous. That's filthy. It's reported commonly among you. Here's the Apostle Paul. He comes and he says, hey, you need to get the thing right. And the boy refuses. Look, if you will, in the same passage, the Bible says in verse number 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan." For what? "The destruction of his soul, of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." I would just simply like to say this to you. Come, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, that he's turning him over for the destruction of the flesh. You say, can the devil destroy your flesh? Absolutely. You sow to the flesh you reap corruption. You're not immune to the passage where he says that if you choose to do those things, that you're becoming instruments for him, and as a repercussion, as a reward of doing wrong, you can't escape a law that is in the Bible that says even though you're saved, you can still yield your members to the devil, and the devil will take them and use them even up to and including your destruction. When you open those doors, as I showed you this morning, I showed you, at least quoted to you the passage in Ecclesiastes when he talks about unclean spirits, unclean birds. When I talked to you about the devil being called Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. And I told you that in Mark chapter number 5 and over in the book of Matthew, when he refers to these individuals, he refers to them being possessed by 1,000 or more demons at one time. They're small entities. When you open the door, it's like letting a whole bunch of flies come in. If you ever had something rotten in your garbage can and you hear something kind of buzzing around and then you open up the lid and then all of a sudden this swarm of flies comes out. You can't control how quick they come out. They come out, and if you have the door of the house open, they're going to be all in the house. I remember one time being at a particular place, a residence, and we went up and we were on what they now call a wellness check. They send somebody by the house just to make sure that everything is okay. And we went up there and I knew right off the bat something was wrong because on the window there at that house, I didn't know at the time it was a bedroom window, but the window of that house was literally covered. It looked like a beehive. It was covered with flies. I knew what was going on. The flies knew something was dead inside. The flies knew that there was something going on inside. And I remember when we went in there, there was no question the moment that we cracked that window and managed to get our hand up there and get the lock open and then raise that window up. I remember those things come flushing in there, man, and literally covering the body of that deceased individual. Flies were all over the place. It doesn't take much to open up a door for a lot of flies to get in. What I'm saying to you is that in the day and time in which you live, there's a little creeping in. There's a beginning. There's a crack in the door, in the window, in the gate that is beginning to allow demonic, satanic things to begin to come in. And Halloween is no exception. It is an outright, in your face, we are against God. We are for everything demonic. They have more than just seances. They have more than just witches and warlocks. They have more than just curses and things like that. That is for them the supreme high day. For all things satanic. Now here's the question that I would ask you. Apologize, I'm a little bit loud. You preached me a little bit hard this morning, so I'm a little bit hoarse. But let me say this to you. Why would you participate in any part of that? You say, but I only participate in the fun part. Just, you know, the dressing up and eating candy. Why would you want somebody to see you participating in something that at its very core is demonic? Is it possible that you crack open a door? I'm not talking about being a fundamentalist and being a cultist and those kind of things, but it's interesting to me how much like the world when it comes to that stuff. I would think that that day in and of itself would be so easy to go, yeah, we don't do that, man. Are you kidding me? That's Satan's day. I don't know why I would get the pushback. Why Christian would say, oh, well, you know, I don't really think there's that big of a deal. Why grandparents would inundate grandchildren with the thought or the idea that those kinds of things are, they're just a joke. It's just to put on. It's really not that big of a day, a deal. Come get your Tootsie Roll and dress up how you want to. Oh, you're so cute. And we have all the pictures and things like that. I'm telling you, when you open that door, you're allowing a lot of things in. And it's more easy to keep them out than it is to get them out once they have taken up residence. And I'll show you the thing here in 2 Corinthians. This individual has been turned over for the destruction of the flesh. That means that the devil can destroy your flesh. I will grant you, as one individual has reminded me, that they have to get permission to do so. But God gave the devil permission when it came to Job and said, you can touch all that he has, but you can't take his life. And I'll grant you that it would be a terrible thing if the devil came up and said, hey, he's opening the door, let me have him. That Bible says in 2 Timothy, I'll show you in just a moment, that Bible says that when I ignore what God tells me to do, I, in respect to that, I'm now giving the devil permission to take me captive whenever the devil wants to. Let me just show you a couple places where Satan shows up. You say, why are you trying to tell me about the devil? Well, I mean, everybody else is talking about him. I've seen all kind of jokes and laughing about stuff. I've seen newscasts with people coming up with their face painted red, with horns on their head, a little pointy tail. I've seen pictures of people standing there with a pitchfork and grinning around with their red flannel pajamas and things. And everybody, like the devil's not real. I've seen Christians making light of that, and I've seen churches that are now having harvest fest, but come dressed up for the 31st. It's been advertised. A friend of mine just told me, I'll just tell you, Brother Chuck just told me, he said, we came by a couple of churches. The churches are closed, but the pumpkin patch is open. So, well, preacher, you know, a jack-o'-lantern, get the material out there. At least learn what it is that you're doing. So, preacher, we're just carving out a pumpkin and, okay. But you're participating in something that its roots, its foundation, is demonic. And when you do that, who's to say that the devil doesn't take advantage of that? Now, I'll give you this word of caution. I mentioned it to you this morning. I'll get to this here in just a second, and I'm going to tell you a couple of things about it. But let me say this to you. I'm talking about even up to and including things that especially young kids have no business delving into. You're not made to study murder. The television is now inundated with murder and with crime and all those things. Well, preacher, it's just really interesting. But you get desensitized. When all of a sudden you become almost ghoulish when you are overcome with the interest in dead bodies, dead things. In Mark chapter number 5 and over in the book of Luke, when he talks about the demon-possessed man of Gadarene, you know what he says about him? They were among the tombs, among the dead things. You want to be careful. A little bit of that goes a long way. We used to have a joke about the guys that worked in homicide. They all looked like undertakers after a while. You ever look at them? I mean, if you stay in there any amount of time at all, it's not long. If that's all you see every day, you start looking like what you're around all the time. You ever been around an undertaker? You ever been to the funeral home? It ain't long before it's like, you know, did that guy come out of a coffin? Is he sleeping back there in the box or something? I mean, how is it that he's looking like that? Because he's hanging around it all the time. I know that we need those things. I understand. But taking that obsessive interest in those things, that's not a natural thing for you to be obsessed with death. Not an obsessive. It's not a normal thing for you to be consumed with that. Here's the devil shows up in 2 Corinthians. This is a little bit practical. And the Apostle Paul has now turned the individual over for the destruction of the flesh. That's a pretty major prayer. I've only ever known of one preacher that ever did that. Besides the Apostle Paul. His name was Preacher Lackey. And he prayed that prayer on a young man that come around every Sunday, came around the hairpin corner up there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and he would come around there and he'd raise a bunch of cane and spin his tires and squeal out in the parking lot and so on and so forth. And the guy came into the church one day and Preacher Lackey told him, you need to get right with God. And the guy laughed at him and kind of flipped him off and that kind of a deal. And he went out there and the story is that Preacher Lackey said, Lord, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And the next Sunday he came down and he was running too fast around that corner and he went down off the side of the hill and the Lord tore him up real good. And they say Preacher Lackey went down there and stood on the top of that car and opened up that door and said, I told you. Now, I wouldn't say to be that bold. But Paul said this thing is so bad that individual won't repent that before he does more damage, then just go ahead and let the devil have him and have a field day with him. Now, I don't know if that scares you or not. That scares the fire out of me. To know that it's so real that Paul said, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, apparently it works. And apparently he gets things that are right. Because the Apostle Paul, then after they have not had anything to do, so you understand when we're preaching on grace, that doesn't mean you're tolerating sin. There's consequences for doing things that are not right to do. And you know what you have to do? You have to cut those people off. You don't have to pray to turn them over to the devil, but you know what you have to do? You can't condone being gracious. You can't condone sin. That's not at all what the message was this morning. But what you do have to understand is that when the individual gets right and wants to get right, that's when you have to do what God tells you. Notice, if you will, please, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Pick it up at the end, verse number 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why did I do that? Paul, why did you do that? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. What's his devices? Being unwilling to forgive people once they get right. Doesn't say how long it took for the young man to learn his lesson. Doesn't say that the repercussions of what he did does not stay with him, and the stigma of that doesn't stay with him. It says that he got right, and Paul said, now you need to forgive him. Why? Because the devil will take advantage of you, not him, if when he tried to get right, you don't let him get right. Doesn't mean you don't keep an eye on him. Certainly would keep your wife away from him. I would suggest that you do that. Take your Bible and come over, if you will, to 2 Timothy. Preacher, you're freaking me out right now. Well, I hope I am. You say, why? The devil's real. In Revelation chapter number 18, he says devils, then he says foul spirits, and then he says to you unclean or hateful birds. In the book of Ezekiel, he refers to unclean birds in hell. In Isaiah, when he talks about the bittern and the cormorant and the owl, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about unclean birds. You say, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you how demonic entities move around. I don't know. It looks like a couple of thousand that were there in Mark chapter number 5, and they went into the pigs and all the jokes that you want to make about that kind of thing. But you know what every one of them said? Every single one of them. If you read on down, you'll find out how many there is. You read Mark chapter number 5, it says the herd was about 2,000. That's where I get the number from. And so he says about 2,000. 2,000 in one man, or if you want to give each of the men that are there 1,000 each, that's 1,000 demons in one person. They must be mighty small. They must be almost undetectable. You might not even know that you had it. You might think you're completely normal. One of the things that people don't recognize is the devil can mimic the Holy Spirit, and he can mess with your mind and your imagination. He can twist you up and make you think that it's God talking to you when it's the devil talking to you. If you don't read your Bible and stay in fellowship, the devil can actually be controlling your control center without messing with your soul. That should shake you to your core. You say, he surely wouldn't do that. Oh, he's the greatest counterfeiter that ever was. As a matter of fact, when he comes on the scene, you know what people think? They think he's God. The Bible says that they'll believe strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Lie there is personified, meaning that they're going to believe that the devil is God. He must be a great counterfeiter. He must have abilities that we don't give him credit for. We don't make him real enough. I don't want to study all of his entities and all of his abilities, but every time you see him showing up, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for worship. You know what he's trying to be? He's trying to be like God. You know what he said? Worship me. I'll give you what you want. The temptation is that, we know what? The devil will give it to me. God don't give it to me. Yeah, but God doesn't give it to you because he knows what's best for you. The devil will give it to you because he doesn't care if it train wrecks you. Look, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Pick it up, if you will, in verse number 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance. Notice the repentance is based upon what? Acknowledging what? You got to be willing to accept the truth. Have you ever sat down with somebody and have somebody tell you some hard truths about yourself, and it's a hard thing for you to face and realize, I'm the problem? I mean, it's one thing to be telling somebody they're the problem. It's something entirely different when the Lord says to you, you're the problem. And they may be messed up as a soup sandwich, but you don't even have no bread to put the soup on. You ever had God deal with you? You know the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to do is to be introspective, to do that examination we talked about this morning and say, Lord, tell me what's wrong with me. And have the Lord put His finger on you and bring it right to your mind. And then generally the first response is, well, Lord, now that may be true, but you know what you just did? You just put yourself in shackles. Have any of you, please don't raise your hands here. Don't nod your head or whatever. Any of you have a struggle before with a besetting sin? Something that you get victory over it for a little while and things seem to go pretty good and you think, okay, I think I got it. And then all of a sudden, you're right back in it again. You're right back in it again. You're thinking, man, how'd that happen? Well, it's just how people are, preacher, and that kind of a thing. Well, but that may not be necessarily so. It might be because when the Lord points out truth, we refuse to accept the truth. And so then when we start getting a little closer to the Lord, the devil takes that chain and yanks us back and says, oh, no, you ain't getting close to Him. You gave me the liberty to take you captive whenever I want to. You see, rejecting the truth is satanic. Rejecting the truth comes with consequences. You don't just get to stay like a benign tumor, just hanging out here, nothing happening, I'm not becoming cancerous, and I'm not getting better, I'm not getting well. If I reject the truth, there is repercussions. And part of that repercussion is now you have given entrance to the Lord of the Flies and have allowed Him to have the privilege of saying, hey, He rejected the truth, I'm taking Him captive. Preacher, I never heard such in my life. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. Look at the next verse. God peradventure will give him repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Do you have a semicolon in your Bible? If Dr. Noble was here, you know what she would tell you? We're going to continue the thought that the next sentence is there to help you identify and to understand, give you the definition of the sentence ahead of it. Verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who were taken captive by Him at His will. Man, if that don't give you chicken skin. So if I give you the truth, and this is why oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, people don't like to hear a hard, straightforward, fast message that says, this is what thus saith the Lord. Because now it's like, oh, now I've become accountable for it. And if I reject it, then I say, you know what, I'd just really rather not know. That's a sign of devil possession. When all of a sudden you don't want to know the truth because you don't want to be accountable for the truth, that's a sign of devil possession. The Lord says, hey, don't you want to not be captive? I do. The Lord said, okay, then accept the truth. I don't. Especially when I'm the center of that, and He says, you got a problem, boy. But you know what He just said? He said, I acknowledge your repentance if you'll accept the truth. That truth is personal. You say, how do you know? The next verse. Because if they acknowledge that truth and He gets the repentance, then they're not taken captive by Satan. But if they don't, they're personally taken captive by the devil when the devil wants to. You know, the sad thing about that, the scary thing about that, is He doesn't take you captive immediately. He gives you a long chain. And you get out there and you get out there and you get to thinking, man, everything's going good and everything's going great and there ain't no problem for anything. And the next thing, boy, you think I'm about to touch the hem of His garment and He yanks that chain and pulls you back and says, hey, you forget who you're talking to here? Preacher, it can't be that way. Well, I'm not done yet. Could you come to the book of Ephesians? Look at that. Ephesians chapter number 4. Somebody said one time, he said, you know, you better pay your exorcist or you'll get repossessed. That's funny. Preacher, why do you bring that up? Well, Ephesians 6, I want you in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 6, you know what he says? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, and high places. And you want to invite them to your house with ghosts and goblins and skeletons and ghouls and little children with candy and pumpkins and orange and black lighting to let those ghouls know where they'll be welcome. The people in the neighborhood that you won't even give them a tract and tell them about where you go to church. But you don't mind them coming by the house for the ghouls and the goblins and the candy. You're not ashamed to be connected with the devil, but you're ashamed to be connected with going to church. And one lady said to me, she said, "Well, preacher, you know what I do is I use that holiday to pass out tracts." I said, "You pass them out any other time? You're not fooling me, sister. You're doing that because you don't want the people in the neighborhood to think you're a weirdo." I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm saying that's the kind of box the devil puts you in. He uses you and your reputation against you. And you know what you don't even think about? You don't even think about it. Listen, I had some stuff written in my notes, a couple of cases that I had, one of which was the Ghoulie Monster case, and I could give you all of the detail. That's my name for that case, and about the ritualistic abuse that happened way off of Schindler Drive and the things that that girl told me. I thought to myself, she is crazy. This is insane. There ain't no way all this is going. I mean, I had seen some stuff and I thought, man, she is so far out on a limb. And I'll be jumped. When we got a warrant, we went in there and we found everything that girl said was there, and we went to where they had the stuff and the ritualistic abuse and all that other kind of junk went on there. You know what it all revolved around? It all revolved around witchcraft and warlocks and satanic worship and the sacrifice and the physical and sexual abuse of kids. Kids. Isn't that what Halloween's about? Kids. Isn't Halloween like Mardi Gras? You're dressing up like something you're not, hiding behind a mask so you can be the demon for the night, the devil. No big deal. Tell that to that little girl. She's more scared of Halloween than you are. She said that's their holy day. She would tremble and shake when she said when they'd lay me on that altar, I'd look up in the tree and see red eyes. And of course, everybody rolled their eyes. Yeah, whatever. Until we found all that stuff. Potions and spells and pictures and all kind of things. And that little girl's telling the truth. Hidden in a secret wall behind the closet. While she was laying in the floorboard of my car trying to tell us where the stuff is, and we go through the whole house and I said, "There ain't nothing in here." And she said, "It's in the closet. You have to go in the closet." I said, "We've been in the closet." She said, No. Push on the wall." And so I went in the closet and I pushed on the wall, and oh my goodness. I thought, "You gotta be kidding me." And we very kindly and graciously escorted the owner of that paraphernalia into a car. Now, the stuff's real whether you want to believe it or not. Amen. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yep. Do you believe He guides and directs you? Yep. Do you believe that when you're filled with the Spirit, that you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? You believe the power of the Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you believe in demonic entities? They're real. And you should be afraid of them. And you shouldn't make them feel comfortable in your house. Ephesians chapter number 4, you're familiar with the passage, I know. Excuse me. Notice what happens. He says, "The put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust." Is it a fair statement to say, we've been through the apostles, Paul's writings there, and through the Pauline epistles, is it a fair saying that to be a Christian takes a little effort? Amen. To be saved is no effort on your part at all. Right? But to be a Christian, don't you have to work at it? Doesn't it require you to put off some things and put on some other things? It's an effort, right? I mean, it's not natural. Like I mentioned this morning about grace. I need grace to pray for my enemies. I know what the Lord's going to be working on me already this week. You say, why? He gave me a list and now I got to pray for them. I'm not being funny. The Lord says, you're going to preach it. You're going to do it, boy. Preach it. You practice it. You say, what? That's not natural for me. So what's my prayer? Give me grace, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace. Notice what he says, verse 23. Be renewed in the... Are you with it? Verse 23. In the what? Spirit of your mind. put on the new man, which after God's created righteousness, wholeness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the... People say, well, if you don't let the sun go down on your wrath, that gives place... No. Don't give place to the devil. Is you have an opportunity to do that. That's along with what he says there, not letting the sun go down upon your wrath. That's another separate command. Don't give place. Don't give opportunity. Don't roll out the welcome mat. Don't do that. Then you know what he does? He goes in the passage, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'll try to hurry tonight. But one of the things he says there is put away lying and strife and emulation and wrath. Put away with all malice and be filled with the Spirit. Am I there? Ephesians 4. Be filled with the Spirit and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what he just said? Those other attributes are demonic. They're things that are not godlike. They're things connected with the old man. What is the old man? It's dead. Demonic entities like dead things. They love your flesh. And if you will sacrifice your flesh to the devil, he will take your flesh. Even though he can't touch your soul, he will be more than happy to take your mind or your mouth or anything else that has to do with that. Take your Bible and come, if you will, please, over to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Now, I'm mentioning this because a lot of times people like the practicality of things. They want you to preach stuff that are ripped from the headlines. Okay? I'm preaching stuff ripped from the headlines. I'm preaching on Halloween. I say it to the devil. Who do you say it to? I got history to support money plus the Bible. What do you have? You say it's harmless? I say it's the most dangerous holiday there is on the face of this earth. I say that if you participate in it, don't be surprised when a 14-year-old goes out and stabs a 13-year-old 114 times. You say, what is that? You can expect to see more of that. Because you won't recognize that the possibility exists that, saved or not, you can be possessed of a devil or devils. You don't need me to come around and sling some 40 weight on you. You don't need me to come around and, you know, you unclean spirit. You need to talk to yourself and talk to the chief apostle. And you need to check on a regular basis to find out if the reason some of you are acting like a whack-a-mole is because you're possessed. How do you respond to preaching? How do you respond to a truthful rebuke? How do you respond to God's Word? How do you respond to God's music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? How do you respond when the person that's dealing with you is telling you a biblical truth and you're trying to duck it and dodge it? That's demonic. Now, I know that the flesh can be there, but sometimes you try to make it all about the flesh when the fact of the matter is you won't accept the fact. If you think I'm kidding you, tonight when you go home, go look in the mirror and say, you unclean thing, get out of me. And your wife would be like, baby, I don't know what happened to you, but man, I'm telling you what, you are a whole new man. And you're like, baby, you sure look beautiful. Oh, preacher, ain't happened to me. Oh, it can happen to preachers. It can happen to Christians. It can happen to deacons. It can happen to trustees. It can happen to anybody. Before you go selling it short, you know what you might recognize? Sometimes people act out of character because they've opened up some things, and before long, that stuff's in them. And the next thing you know, it's doing the thinking for them. Next thing you know, they're sowing discord. And they're coming against doctrine. They're coming against absolutes. And they're acting so far out of character. It's not because of pressure in life. It's they've opened up some gates, some doors, some bars, and some windows. And the odd thing is the devil is indiscriminate. It'll happen to people you wouldn't even expect it to happen to. And then before long, you're thinking, man, how'd that train run off the rail? Well, I'm just saying, diagnostically, why not check and see if I'm right? Why not check and see if the Bible's right?
why not, instead of saying, you know why, that's a bunch of garbage, why not put it to the test? And just see, unless you're afraid to check it out. Who is that that's telling you right now that ain't you? You don't think it's the one residing in there going, you ain't got no problem. He's a nut, man. That's crazy. That's whacked stuff, man. I mean, who ever heard of something like that? Who's telling you that? Why wouldn't you want to be clean? Why wouldn't you want to have it out of there? Why you lay at night time and you can't turn your brain off? I just don't know what's the matter. I just don't know what's the matter. I just can't. I just don't know what's the matter. I don't know. The Lord didn't give you a spirit of fear, but love and a sound mind. Is it possible there's something in there? Oh, preacher, I don't have no doors open. Have you checked? You'd be surprised how slick he is to slide in. You'd be surprised how easily he can just eat and the door crack and the flies come in there. And you think, I got one or two of them. I hit them with a can of Raid. We're all good. And they're buzzing around on the floor. And all them other ones are in there running around like bats in a belfry. Cuckoo birds. And here's the sad thing. You adults are exposing kids and grandkids to it. I don't hold the kids responsible. I hold adults responsible for letting kids play with things they have no business playing with. I don't hold the kids responsible for that. You're more careful about giving a kid a loaded firearm than you are about giving them an electronic device and let them pick whatever games or whatever. What's the big deal? Ain't no big deal. You check what they're looking at? Did you read what the information is on it? Do you understand the people that made that told you up front? We made it intentionally to be addictive. We did that on purpose. We want you to be checking all the time. And the next thing you know, they're messing around with demonic entities. Oh, it's just little cartoon characters, and it's just little, you know, superheroes that come from different planets, and they're kind of human and kind of not human, and they're kind of monster and not monster, and they're kind of cars, but they're not cars, and it's harmless. You sure it's harmless? Are you sure it's just not your way of making a babysitter out of something demonic in your lord, that kid's force field, that shield, that something don't feel right about this. And then the next thing you know, they're breaking into your account and getting your Wi-Fi password so they can stay up all night and play their games. Something's gotten in there. Don't you tell me that it's just because they have an addictive personality. Something got in there. Something's wanting to eat. You say, well, preacher, you know, what are you supposed to do? Try this. Just say no. Don't be in such a hurry to give them a phone. Don't be in such a hurry to get them to be quiet. Entertain them by reading to them or talking to them or communicating with them. But what you do is you give them a screen. I know I'm making you uncomfortable. I made you uncomfortable this morning in Sunday school. I know I'm making you uncomfortable. You're a preacher, everybody else does it. Oh, well, then that makes it right, doesn't it? You have more things going on nowadays than you've ever had going on before. There's a common thread. I know that much about detective work. You say, what does it have to do with? It has to do with the fact that the kids, before they're ever even in school, they know better how to run a phone or an electronic device than they know how to communicate with people. And you know I'm telling the truth. I don't care if you're an electronic guru. And kids, you can be mad at me. That's fine. Be upset with me. Blame it on the preacher. Parents say, well, the preacher said, you know, don't take the hit yourself. Grandma, when they come over to your house, make sure you give them their device and your Wi-Fi password at Thanksgiving so that they can sit on their blessed assurance over in a corner instead of gathering around the table and said, I want to thank the Lord for this and thank the Lord for this and thank the Lord for this. You try to grab that device from them, they pitch a cotton-picking fit. That kid's over there going through the TSA thing, and I'd gotten on the other side of it, and this kid goes over there, and the guy gets ready. He says, you're going to have to put your phone thing there. It's one of those big phones, one of those note things.
he gets ready to take that kid. You've heard the story before. And he gets ready to take it. And the kid, no! And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Mama's going to, and she goes, no, honey, you know, you have to give him that. It's just going to be for a little while. And it'll be a no! And I thought, man, she needs to have a come to Jesus meeting with this boy. And it's the morning time and first flight out, and this thing's beginning to back up. And people are kind of like, could somebody like just pick the kid up and put him on the belt and run him through or something, right? People are jacked up in the morning. They're all there with their Starbucks with four extra shots in it. Listen, you walk into the airport, there is at 6 a.m, there is already a line all the way out. It looks like a snake all the way out into the thing. They're going to get that Starbucks. And if you're holding them up in TSA, keeping them from getting their caffeine and making them late for wherever they're headed, whoo, man. And he's, yeah. And I thought, oh, so I got through, you know, they wanded me, and I got through on the other side, and I thought, you know what, you know. And I stood there for a minute, and everybody tried. So then this black lady, real nice lady, she came up, and she got down there, and she started talking to him. I thought the kid was going to spit on her. She's like, I mean, he just like turned on her, no, you know, like that. And I'm thinking, oh, need to have a meeting with Jesus. There was a guy. He's a Mexican. His name was Jesus. And here comes Jesus. And he comes walking up there. He didn't ask anybody anything. He grabbed that phone. He put it in that little plate. And he ran it through and said, now get! And the kid was like, you know, running through there like that. And the thing got through. And everybody, I mean, you know, people were like, golf clap. You know, being respectful because the kid was a brat. And so they get through and the thing comes through on the other side. And the mom takes the phone and gets ready to hand it to him. And that kid looks at Jesus and goes, I thought, man, I need to get that guy in for a meeting. And now you wonder why the kids are so unruly and ungovernable. Because one of the signs of demonic possession is you can't keep rank. You can't follow orders. And in the last days, children are disobedient to parents, which is God-ordained authority. And wives, oops, and Christians. Mark chapter 4, let me put a bow on this if I could, please. Look, if you will, please, verse number 3. You know the passage. The Bible says, hark and behold, verse number 3. There went out a sower to sow. And came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Stony ground and among the thorns. Come on down in the passage there. And unto you is given the kingdom of God and the mysteries. And verse 13, good question. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower that soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown. But when they have heard, you see fowls of the air in verse 4? Look at verse 15. Satan cometh and immediately taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. That's pretty far reach, isn't it? Yeah. And then once it gets in your heart, he said, and immediately. When that word went out, the fowls of the air, the unclean birds that are in the last church in the trees, when the fowls of the air, when they hear it, you know what the Bible says? Satan comes and takes away from you the very thing that'll help you. And he compares it to a bird. And he said, that's how the devil does. Like a bird that comes by when you sow that seed. And the bird comes by and grabs that seed before it can even take root or do anything. He devours it himself. And you wind up starving. Now that's what's fixing to happen here a week from today. And at this time of night, a week from today, the streets will be full of Christians that ought to know better than to participate in Satan's holy day. won't be in church. They'll be out trick-or-treat. Parents will be in cars or walking with their kids, walking up and down the streets so their kids can get candy. Wonder why diabetes and obesity is on the rampage. Blame the school lunches. Blame all kinds of other things. And when you're participating in something that is more poisonous than the candy you're eating, you're telling the devil, come on in. Come on in. And if that's what you want to do, I can't stop it. But I'm telling you, there's repercussions. And I'm telling you, before the Lord that made me, it may not be immediate, but it will be definite. Yes. Because He will not reside unless He can control. So, be warned. Be aware. The devil is very real. He's not a little guy with horns on his head and a long tail and flannel pajamas. He's an angel of light. His ministers are ministers of righteousness. He'll show up and look like a fine, shining angel until he gets you to listen to him over God's words. Where are you at, preacher? The first Halloween. I'm in Genesis chapter 3. When Satan said, worship me. The second Halloween, he came there to the Lord and said, bow down and worship me. I know it's not October 31st, but you understand the analogy. And the Lord said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You ain't getting me, devil. I'm not opening the door. Well, if the Lord wouldn't open the door and Eve did open the door, could you maybe learn from the mistake that Eve made and keep the door shut as long as you can? Could you not invite him in? Your life will be better for it. I'm telling you, boy, he's a lion. He's a serpent. He's a snake. He's a dragon. He will destroy you and think nothing of it. The more you scream, the more he likes it. The word sadistic comes from Satan. Masochistic. Loves to punish. Loves to hurt. Loves to create conflict and turmoil and trouble. He thrives on it. It makes him happy, gleeful, joyful. And the things that destroy us and our relationship with the Lord, and you know what we say? Oh, a little bit won't hurt. And it's time we as Christians and we as preachers say, there's some things that are just wrong. And that's one of them. And I do realize that your preacher, your pastor, is way out on a limb, pretty much on his own when it comes to that. But I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying right. You're in the last days. And if the Bible's right, the impact of his demonic desires are greater and stronger in the last days than they ever have been. I would just suggest you keep the door shut. If he knocks, don't answer. He'll tell you everything just to get you to crack the door to let some flies in. And before long, you know what flies do? And I'm done. Probably some of you do. They lay eggs. You know what comes from eggs? You say flies, not first. Maggots. Maggots wind up eating what mom and daddy been feeding on. And then they grow up and they have that same circle of life and then they reproduce the same thing and then their little kids, their little maggots, wind up eating the same thing mom and daddy ate. Be better, mom and daddy, if you just keep the door shut. Amen. Let's stand together and be dismissed.